page 60 of your pew Bible. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other at all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on the left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of the Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. And this can be found in your pew Bible on page 163. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before judgment, the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight. My Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Can you imagine the surprise on the face of all of Pharaoh's army? You know, they've already been held at bay by this pillar of fire. And when all of Israel crosses the Red Sea on dry land, well, they did it, so we can do it. So Pharaoh and his chariots and his army rush to cross the Red Sea on dry land, just as the tribes of Israel have. And what happens? Things didn't turn out quite like they expected. Again, a deliverance story for us, in that how God, through His mercy, through Moses, delivered Israel from captivity and slavery in Egypt, and how Jesus, God through Jesus, delivers us from slavery to sin. And He does it how? By a cross. Pharaoh wanted to keep all the tribes of Israel, and he was going to do it how? By power, by might, by the chariots, by the sword, by the spear, by the bow and the arrow. And he was going to subjugate Israel and keep them and hold them. Egypt was the greatest power known at that day. Fast forward to Jesus' day. The instrument of punishment, the ultimate symbol of power and dominion of Rome, executed each and every time a criminal was crucified. This happens to traitors. This happens to people who challenge Rome. The people brought, the Sanhedrin brought Jesus to Pilate because they didn't have the death penalty. They wanted Rome to do their dirty work for them. And it was part of God's plan. The scriptures that we have today from Romans, again, it's Paul writing to Romans, and we know that most of Paul's books were written to a particular audience, to a particular time, for a particular reason, in response to a particular set of challenges. And Romans chapter 14 brings us into the issue that is working in the early Christian church at Rome. And there are people who, their tradition had been Jewish, so they knew the Levitical requirements for dietary. You only eat certain foods. You only drink certain things. Primarily because those foods might have been offered, if they didn't know, that meat might have been offered to an idol. What Paul is doing is addressing a fear that they have that they're not going to eat any meat at all because it could have been offered to an idol. Paul calls them weak and strong. Well, what do they mean by weak in faith and strong in faith? The weak in faith are those, the people that follow the Levitical, because they think they have to follow those dietary restrictions in order to be obedient to God. Paul answered them previous in chapter 8 when he said, it's not what goes in the mouth that makes you impure. Because whatever goes in the mouth just goes in the body, and out into the sewer. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you impure, because that comes from your heart. So it's not what they're eating or what they're choosing not to eat. Now, there are people who will have differences of opinion on that, and the church in Rome is having this. You have people who are strong Christians who realize that it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles me, it's what comes out of the mouth. Well, I can eat anything. So those are the strong in faith. And there are those of the weak in faith and say, well, look, I don't know if that's been offered to an idol or not, so I'm not going to consume it. Well, what happens? You have people that have two sides of the story. The people who are strong in their faith say, you can go ahead and eat that. And the people that are weak in their faith say, you shouldn't eat that because that's been offered to an idol. Well, who's right? Dr. Eford at Duke Divinity would often say, that's the wrong question. It's not the right question. Which one's right? Well, he comes to and he says, welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. His point here is not that we have differences. We always will have differences. He's saying not to quarrel about them, but to recognize and accept. He says, some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. In other words, if you're eating, don't hold it over them, because they don't. Who are you to, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. And then he tells us, who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they will stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Whether you eat it because you feel that there's nothing that goes into the mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of the mouth, or whether you abstain from it because I'm not going to eat any food that could have been offered to an idol and therein defile myself, whether one or the other, live in harmony with each other, because whose are you? Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord. And who of us can judge? It's before our own Lord that we stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. That's point number one, verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 through 9 give us the second point. And the second point here is he says, some judge one day better than another. So first there's the food. Second one is days. The Jewish calendar had many, many holy days, revered days, days that were set apart. The Roman and the Greek world had days of celebration, and they would hold some days holy and some days not. So you have in the Roman church people looking at different days, and there's a quibble over which one's holy and which one's not, which one to follow, which one not. Some judge one day better than another, while others judge all days as alike. Let all be fully convinced in their minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to the God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. It comes to the salient point, number two, is if we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both dead and living. Whether we eat or don't eat, whether we celebrate a day or another day, if we celebrate that day to the Lord, if we give thanks to the Lord for that food, then who are we giving thanks to? And who are we celebrating the day to? God, our Creator. So why should I judge you? Why should you judge me? The point is, we're supposed to not be in enmity and in judgment and ridiculing and making fun of another because, oh, well, you know, they won't eat that because they think it was offered to an idol. And we all know, because we're smarter and wiser, that it's not what goes in the mouth that makes you unclean, it's what comes out of the mouth that makes you unclean. Oh, how weak they are. Don't lord it over them. They're doing what they're doing because that's how they feel. They're honoring God. And if you honor the Lord with this day or by eating or not eating, you honor whom? The Lord. Who's the one who's going to judge any one of us? All of us. God. And God will make us stand. Because that's why Christ died and lived. Now, why did Paul say that? Why did Paul say died and lived? We know that Jesus was born, right? Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day rose and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We know this. This is our litany and our worship. The point Paul's making is that his resurrection is proof that he did what God had sent him to do. He was crucified. He was dead. He was hung on a cross as the full and complete payment for my sin, for your sin, for their sin, for the generation to come's sin. And what else? He died and lived again. In Romans chapter 10, what is it that any Christian is supposed to do? Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead. We believe those two pieces. Everything else we can build upon. But we've got to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died and God raised him up for my deliverance. For your deliverance. So that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. The last point. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister or you? Why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us, the last sentence, the last verse, 12. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Who are you accountable to? Who measures you? God does. The beauty here is we know God's grace is sufficient for all. His mercy, his love. Jesus says in John 6, I come not to do my will, but the will of God. And the will of God is that none given to me by the Father will be lost. All will be raised up. God has a plan for each and every one of us. What we need to do is accept that plan, live into that plan, open up our hearts, and then with our hearts open, filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, we get out of here. And we go there, and we go there, and we go there. We go everywhere. Serving God. And judging no one. Now, should we be helpful if we see a brother or sister in Christ who has fallen into a habit that's destructive? Should we not say words of comfort and encouragement to get them to stop that? Absolutely. But not in a judgmental way. I wouldn't do that if I were you. But with that generosity that comes of, there but by the grace go I. And and with a willingness to accept them and help them to serve God better. Because we are supposed to look at our brothers and sisters and uplift them and help them. And sometimes Terry has to give me a little more stern correction. Sometimes Warren has to get me on the straight and narrow. Sometimes Fran has to tell me how the bulletin is written and how I'm supposed to lead a sermon. And sometimes I get an Air Force guy telling me how much better off I'd have been if I'd have served in the Air Force. Everybody needs words of encouragement. And each and every one of us needs to know that we can give words of encouragement to each other. Not in a judgmental way. Not in a hurtful way. But in a way that lifts them up. So that's what Jesus does. That's what Paul is speaking about. Because we all are equal before the cross. And all of us will be in judgment, by judgment, serving under judgment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shalom. So at the end of that, as you open your bulletin, who do you belong to? I'm sorry? We are the Lord's. That was the title. And when you go out, you'll see that in the sign as well. So, our hymn of invitation is, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, How I Love Jesus, number 170.